everyone. The third Thursday of the month brings a lot of things. It's Cook's Night Off at the Quincy Senior Center. It's Free Movie Day at 2 at the Quincy Senior Center. But most importantly, it's Master Gardener Day on the Mary Griffith Show. Kathy Carpenter is kind of the lead dog on that Master Gardener sled. However, a whole team of Huskies and Malamutes backs her up because you just never know. For example, next month, Kathy will be in some exotic
Hawaii.
Place. She'll be in Hawaii. I've offered to come with her and we could do a live broadcast from Hawaii, but she's not willing to pay for my airfare and my expenses, so we'll have a replacement. But there's really no replacement for Kathy Carpenter. So today we're going to get every bit of juice we can out of her. We're going to squeeze that Hawaiian pineapple as hard as we can. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Love having you here. You are a member of the Tree Commission.
I am indeed, as well as being a master gardener that
yes.
loves trees anyway.
Now, one of the final, or one of the double Jeopardy categories in this greatest of all time Jeopardy match was about trees. So just knowing different kinds of trees would have been helpful. Nobody knew about the aspen. Isn't that surprising?
Not. That is surprising.
Three super genius gentlemen. I knew the answer was aspen. So, you know, who knows?
Amazing.
I could have maybe been the greatest of all time. I think you have to win more,
well,
know
the
more than one
super
answer.
Genius gentleman lived in a big city where there's almost nothing in the way of
and definitely
trees.
No aspen trees.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll consider that as a plight. But let's talk a little bit about trees because this is the time of year when the trees have gone into their dormancy.
Absolutely.
But it is also a time of year when you really can be planting trees. And I know Trees for Tomorrow, and Quincy is in Tree City, USA. The
yes.
Arbor Day Commission recognizes up. Rebuilding the canopy is important, and there was efforts to do that. And then, of course, this emerald ash borer kind of knocked us back a bit. So let's just talk about the status of trees and tree health.
Well, and they're actually doing pretty well. The hardest trees to monitor are the ones that the city plants along the street, because there's if you tried to figure out a worse place for trees to thrive, it would be in what many people call the hell strip, or that space between the sidewalk and the curb.
Concrete.
Exactly.
But that's where we want a beautiful tree, because
of course.
You know, that's where we need it. But the tree has a hard time in that environment.
It really does. And part of the problem, too, is the trees that we kind of identified as great, gorgeous trees for that area, like ash, like the elm tree, which also got decimated by a pest. These things, and that's why it's dangerous to put all your eggs in one basket when you're either planting trees in your yard, or a city has to decide how can we mix it up enough that if something hits the trees, you're not in an issue of complete devastation and almost having to start from square one again, because it takes many years for a tree to grow and be really, really top-notch beautiful in our city,
right.
Which is what, of course, we want.
We want 20 or 30 or 40 years from now, the streets to be tree-lined and look as beautiful as they are today.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have tornado winds or decimation by pests or a variety of things that can happen, it does put a little kink in it. And there will definitely, Madison Park looks different today than it did 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And it will look different 20 years from now than it does today. And we just have to roll with that and enjoy it for what it is at the moment, because there's nothing you can do to make a tree grow faster. I mean, it's
not really.
You
can try to maximize the love and care and stuff that you give it, but
right.
still.
It's not going to get a 40-foot tree in 1 year,
not
right?
Not at all.
No matter what,
not,
no matter what
work.
You do.
It does not work.
So how does, are you part of Trees for Tomorrow, or are you part of the city's Tree Commission?
I'm the Tree Commission.
Okay.
I'm on the Tree Commission.
So you work independently of Trees for Tomorrow, but I'm sure you probably work cooperatively with them, because
exactly.
they're raising
and
money.
And there are people on the Tree Commission that are associated with Trees for Tomorrow.
Because the Tree Commission has a certain amount of government funds to invest.
Well, we're actually more of a volunteer, give advice and free labor kind of.
But doesn't the city
group.
Every once in a while sell trees for an
extraordinarily
low price?
It does indeed. In fact, that topic was brought up at the last meeting. We meet four times a year, and we were all enthusiastic that, of course, then the city has to come up with some subsidizing money, because these trees are, I mean, the person who has asked for the tree in their health strip is puts in some money too, but it's extraordinarily cheap.
To buy a tree there as opposed to go out to a private nursery.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And the other thing is you have to be very careful where you plant these trees, because the worst thing you can do is plant it under a power line. Now you've just created a problem, not today, but 15 years from now, everything's going to have a V-notch in it, because Ameren's not going to allow that tree to overtake that power line.
Well, the key with the power line business is you pick a small tree. And speaking of picking of trees...
what are they recommending?
Just coming out now, this is third edition,
trending in trees, is
under the canopy, creating personal green space.
Oh,
and
okay.
People can get these from the Extension office, because the Extension is one of the sponsors of this little thing. And it's an Illinois-based printing, and it talks about planning your landscape. And it gives lists of recommended trees on it and their characteristics. They're divided into small, medium, large, and evergreen, and with all kinds of useful suggestions, dealing with desirability features, adaptability, considerations. They give you care and pruning of trees and proper pruning, and then the best way to plant trees, and all kinds of useful advice, and it's all in a pamphlet of maybe...
It's nice because it folds up. And it comes out real big, but then
lovely
it folds up.
Pictures too
of the
recommended
trees. What does
trees.
A sunset maple look like? What do the leaves look
exactly.
like?
Exactly, exactly.
What kind of cones am I going to get on my evergreen, or are there no cones on my evergreen? Yeah, that's. And what do they look like in the fall? So
yes.
if you like orange, you can have orange. If you like yellow, you can have yellow.
Right.
That is
right.
Really lovely. Is that free of charge?
Yep.
Okay, so
at
get
the
out
the Extension office.
Illinois Extension and get under the canopy. One of the things, of course, for example, if you're planting a tree for privacy, that's different than planting a tree for shade.
Correct.
Obviously, it's two very separate kinds of trees. And it really is important not just to say, oh, I was out in Pennsylvania and my girlfriend had a sunset maple, so I'm going to go get a sunset maple and maybe put it in my backyard in Quincy, Illinois. It may or may not take here. So you have to educate yourself about and
what
the trees that the Tree Commission picks. When they offer certain trees for people to go down and buy, they have picked ones that are more thriving in our area.
Yes, indeed. In fact, but I don't know that the decision has been made yet
about
by
what
the
kind
city
of trees?
About, well, also by... whether they're going to do it. We recommend
money.
That they be done.
Well, it's all a matter of money.
Yeah, we'd have to get the money to do it. And
of course, these would be planted then on the city right of way.
Correct.
Of course, people can plant a tree on their own private property. I shouldn't say anytime they want. But a lot of people, and we talked about this a couple of months ago when you were on, if you really wanted to plant a tree, dig the hole before it's 13 degrees and one below zero where you can't get...
Correct.
If the hole's already there, is a day like today? I mean, it's really cold today.
It's really cold today.
I mean, wait for a... Like yesterday would have been a better day.
Probably,
but I mean, it's okay to plant a tree when it's dormant.
It is okay, but usually speaking, and this is what the problem is, not so much that the tree couldn't live through the cold, but... when you plant a tree, you want to encourage that root system to start poking its way out of its planting hole into the existing soil.
And
it won't do that. Plus, you don't want you. It used to be, people used to say, well, you want to improve the soil, when you dig that hole and you want to add additives and everything to it. this really isn't a good idea. Because, you know, trees have a certain innate smartness about them. We may not consider it so, but when that tree is out in improved soil and it sends its little root hairs out, and then all of a sudden it hits the real soil.
Unimproved.
And it doesn't like it. So it tends to stay in the hole and not expand out the way it should to become a really healthy, mature tree.
So it's okay when you dig the hole to put stuff in there, but if it's the disparity between the hole and the perimeter,
rest of your soil.
Now, a lot of people say when you fertilize for a tree, you should fertilize not at the trunk, but at the drip line. So the drip line would be beyond. I mean, if you fertilized in a circumference where you wanted the tree to grow, would it sense that? And can you drive stake those fertilizer spikes and stuff in there? Will it sense that there's something on the other side?
Yeah, I mean it will once you've got the fertilizer permeating your own soil, your own personal soil that
right.
you didn't improve, so to speak. It really is. I mean, trees are very adaptable, but they have to have a little encouragement at the beginning that they're supposed to go out into the world and look for good food to eat, so to speak. I mean,
so, but when is the perfect time to plant the tree?
The perfect time to plant a tree is actually in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, before you're anticipating a freeze. And so it would usually probably be the September, October time.
So it has time, even though it's going into its dormancy, it does have time to establish its roots and spread its wings.
Exactly.
And it may confuse it because it's like, well, it's getting colder. Shouldn't I be shutting down? And then my bottom, my roots are saying, no, 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 eat, eat, eat. Look at all this good stuff.
Yeah.
It does kind of send it into a psychotic state, but it's, you know,
but
better
that's
than that.
The way it's meant. And the next best time is the spring.
Mm-hmm.
After the, you know, the soil is warmed up a little bit. But I would say probably April's a lovely time to plant trees.
So should you, if you know where you're going to plant the tree and you kind of know where the hole's going to be, should we be going out and staking a circumference and fertilizing the drip line?
I don't think so necessarily, because understand, too, that the drip line you're talking about is generally the drip line where the branches end.
Right.
And then you go down below that. But the branches are going to be continually growing out and out and out, so that will change.
Right, but initially
it wouldn't hurt. It certainly wouldn't hurt to put that up. It's not terribly necessary the first year and then the second year.
Because every year you do that, your circumference is going to get bigger.
Bigger, of course.
Yeah. Okay.
And but it's a really spring. The only thing you worry about with the spring plantings is that how fast is summer going to come on? Because the tree will need a little bit more pampering if it's been in the spring in terms of watering and that sort of thing, because, you know, it's not used to the kind of stress that
and that's been part of the problem. We've had too much rain, drought, we've had all kinds of variations. And I know a couple of years ago, master gardeners and others were coming on saying, water that tree or you may lose it. And
right.
so I put a lot of effort into trying to, and it worked. I mean, our trees are robust and healthy and look great. And, you know, I didn't do much this year last year, I should say, now that we're in 2020, because it didn't seem like it needed much
to
be done.
Yeah, exactly.
So you really do. And in the spring, when it's in its growth spurt and you want to give it some fertilizer and you want to get it going and you want to really bring it on, you better make sure it's got adequate water, because it's just like us, without adequate water to move those nutrients, things are going to be problematic.
For sure. And actually, the trees, a tree that's pretty mature, I mean, we're not talking the new planting or the first maybe 4 or 5 years. Usually, if you fertilize your lawn, the tree gets plenty of fertilizer. You don't have to go out and buy expensive spikes or liquids to pump into the soil, that sort of thing. When I was young and foolish, I did stuff like that. But I have learned, and it is not necessary.
It's kind of like when you take too many B vitamins. You're just going to pee them out. So, you know, you'll get runoff is what will happen is you'll fertilize the stream. You don't want to fertilize the stream.
No, you do not, because that can create its own environmental issues, mainly,
right.
You know, algae overgrowth and a lot
right.
of other
if you've
stuff.
Got a, yeah. If you've got a little creek in your backyard and it starts getting overgrown with muck, you are putting
definitely
way too much on your lawn. We're going to take
sure.
a break. When we come back, our conversation about trees with our tree commissioner and master gardener, Kathy Carpenter, continues. If you've got a question about trees or anything to do with gardening, give us a call. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Kathy Carpenter is here. The third Thursday of the month we devote to gardening and gardening issues, and that can include landscaping and trees, and that's what we're talking about today. Kathy's a member of the Quincy Tree Commission. For years now, they've allotted a certain amount of money so that folks can kind of do a cost-share payment and get trees to plant in the rights of way of the city or on their property. And it's been good to beautify our city. We don't know if we're going to have that program because, like everything else, it costs money, et cetera, et cetera. But non-reliant on government, if folks are going to plant a tree, do you have, in your wisdom, the top three, the top five that really do well around here that people would enjoy, that are fairly easy to care for and maybe have some nice fall color? Or because I don't want anything that drops some kind of bulb or cone. I don't want to have to pick it up. I don't want to have to run it over. That walnut tree, thank God Mother Nature took care of that for us. Because mm-hmm. my husband was so sick and tired of getting hit on the head mowing the grass with walnuts falling out of that tree. So, you know.
Well, you definitely don't want an Osage orange. Those
things are
a lot bigger when they fall on you.
They're deadly. Those Osage orange balls.
They did cars if you're parked under one.
So what do you recommend? I mean, do you have a recommendation? I know it's your opinion.
Well,
Based on some scientific fact, you are a master gardener, but what would you say if I had to go out today and buy a tree, because I wanted to plant it in the spring, I wanted to pick out a tree and say, I want this in my yard in the spring, what would you get?
Well, you know, partly you have to take into consideration your yard, too. I mean, do you have a wet spot in your yard? Is that might not be the best place to plant certain kinds of trees, a great place to plant other kinds. Same thing with the condition of the soil and that sort of thing. But generally speaking, one of my favorites is not a native tree, is a ginkgo. The trick with ginkgos is you want a male ginkgo, not a female ginkgo. Because female, you talk about dropping stuff. They have very odoriferous fruits, which ginkgo seeds are delicious in China and everything. They like them. But they smell to high heaven. Visit Williamsburg, Virginia in sometime during ginkgo fruiting season, because they didn't pay too much attention to that, and it's very smelly. But
so
a male ginkgo is gorgeous. It's resistant to just about everything. The species is 500 million years old. It is a living fossil, and it survived easily that long. And they have beautiful, pure golden yellow fall color, and they generally drop all their leaves at once. So if you hate, you know, raking and then coming back and raking some more, wait till this year was a little screwy because of our weird weather, and we got cold before any leaves were able to drop. So it was a mess this year. But most normal falls, they drop every single leaf overnight.
Male ginkgo.
Male ginkgo, and they don't have any diseases. They are resistant to just about everything. So that is a lovely tree, low maintenance.
Okay.
But not a native, of course. And maybe some people don't like yellow fall color. Maybe they'd rather have, you know, red, like, you know, one of your maple selections.
Like a sunset maple.
Yeah.
Named
exactly.
So for that.
And they're always, the developers are always looking to, you know, find something new, different, exciting in terms of fall color or other characteristics. So there, that's something else too to think about. You should always think about the height. If you're one of these houses with an older homes that have, you know, a power line that has to come in to get to your house, you have to be careful about what you plant near that line so that it doesn't interfere. And God forbid, if a hard wind comes through and knocks over the tree, you know, there goes your power and have to get the electrical people out to fix it and that sort
of
thing.
Yeah, when you plant a tree, you know, you really have to think, what's it going to look like in 20 years, 40 years,
exactly.
60 years?
Find out the maximum height and width, potentially, of that tree that you're going to plant and take it from there. Now, a lot of people would like to have flowers in the spring. And there are some lovely trees that are sometimes
lace.
Small.
Japanese lace has a beautiful flower.
I'm not sure. That's a common name. Do you have the scientific name?
No, I'm not even sure if that's the actual name. It's just, I know it's lace because it looks like lace. I mean,
The flowers
look like lace. It looks like your tree is just completely covered with lace.
Yeah, cool.
So, but wouldn't that have to be a girl tree then?
Some trees are both male and female at the same time. You know, they've got female flowers and male flowers.
Okay.
You know, they pollinate themselves.
But that's something to ask your nursery man.
Oh, exactly.
Like, do I want male or female or ambiguous? Question mark. GBLQ community tree because of the certain characteristics of what it's going to be like. Because...
Right.
You know, if I can have, like you said, the ginkgo, you get all the beauty of the fall color of the gold, but you don't get any of that disgusting crud all over your yard and, you know, and the stench, like you said. You want something that smells pretty.
Exactly. Or doesn't smell at all, but looks pretty.
It looks pretty, yeah.
But, the other thing with the trees, a lot of the dogwoods are pretty in the spring.
They are beautiful, but, again, that's... Heart. This is really not dogwood country. So what do you suggest to try to get dogwoods to thrive? Because some people around town have some really, really beautiful dogwoods. Mm-hmm. And then others really do kind of remain rather dwarfed and rather spindly.
Right. Although dogwood is a small tree to begin with, you know, and it won't get nice and super tall and that sort of thing. I like red buds a lot. They can self-seed all over the place, though, so you kind of have to be prepared to mow under it, so make sure that none of the
seeds those start. Trees come up. That is a really annoyance when you have a tree and all of a sudden it's got a lot of suckers or a lot of
babies underneath it, yes.
And, you know, ginkgo, and I think ginkgo has a lot. Ours, how could it be a boy if it has babies?
It doesn't. It's a girl if it has babies.
Well, it doesn't stink. It seems to me, though, that like it gets babies, like little babies out in the yard.
I'd be very surprised.
Okay, well, I don't know.
I'd have to come look at your yard to see that.
It's a family show, and I don't ever take his pants off to see if it's a boy or a girl, so I don't know. But
true.
I've never, it has never stunk to the best of my knowledge. It's always pretty. Okay, so we've got the ginkgo. We've got, what'd you say? I just forgot. The red bud.
Red bud. I mentioned the cornus, the dogwood.
The dogwood.
But I would say that if you're talking a bigger tree, I like the katsura tree is nice if you can. But it tends to be a little bit picky about its location and things. Sometimes you get a good one and it looks gorgeous and it's wonderful. Others, it won't last. It just dies. So it's a little bit pickier about its location.
But it's like oak versus maple. Where do you fall on the oak versus maple?
Okay. Well, oaks, you have to remember acorns. And if people, I mean, I have oaks, but they're back in the back of the property where doesn't bother me.
Right, you're not stepping on those acorns.
Exactly, or slipping or falling or anything like that. So that you'd have to worry about a bit with an oak tree. And, of course, it also attracts things like, you know, squirrels and that sort of thing. Maples, I think if I was going to say one versus the other, if I wanted to plant, I'd plant my oaks in the back where they can get big and beautiful. I have three white oaks and I think a bur oak hybrid. Oaks are very promiscuous. Sometimes you're not sure what you're getting when you buy a small one too. And mine has a bur oak shaped leaf, but it's got little points on the end of its lobes, which would indicate it's two different families, like the red oak may have.
So someday when PBS
White Oak family
gets your tree's DNA, just like you get your family
exactly,
DNA, we might find out where this dalliance took place.
Yes, indeed. And it's actually the acorns look like Bur Oak acorns. I mean, they look totally like Bur Oak acorns. But
somewhere,
the leaves I'm a very suspicious of.
Back in some ways, this Bur Oak was a little bit promiscuous.
Yes, yes. And I think I would go, you know, for something that's closer to the house or that sort of thing, I'd probably go with maples, just because they do have some of them have gorgeous color. Paper bark maples are gorgeous. I mean, in the sense of the bark, they have exfoliating bark. Mm-hmm. That's really neat.
Okay.
But they also self-seed. They'll have babies. So they should be, if they're in your lawn, you know, mow around them. That'll take care of any of the seedlings and that sort of thing. I would steer clear. I don't like too much the crab apples because they sucker. And they are a real pain to keep control over unless you mow around them when they're very young.
Yeah, we have that. And then the roots start to get built up a little bit and you can't mow. They sucker on everything.
Mm-hmm.
But they're so pretty when they have the little red crab apples.
And they're relatively short lived too, a lot of them, the crab apples.
Yeah.
At least that I've in my experience.
I'm so old.
In my yard.
I think I'll outlast the tree. So I'm not going to worry about it.
Okay.
We've got to take
very
a break.
Good.
We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Time is always short, but of course you can't talk everything there is to talk about trees in just a few moments. We got to the deciduous trees. Evergreens, any recommendations?
Well, evergreens, you have to understand, the only native evergreen to us in Illinois is my blanking. At any rate, there's only one, and it's generally considered more of a junk tree. You see it growing all over the place.
So, like, is it a pine? Some kind of
it's a juniper, I believe.
A
juniper. That, but, you know, you just have to be prepared with evergreens to kind of pamper them a bit. Serbian spruce is beautiful. I tried one, and I wasn't able to keep it alive. But if you can get it in a good location, good soil, it's a gorgeous tree to have. A lot of people get the Norway spruce. That can be a little bit messy. But they're all Concolor fir is a nice one,
okay,
too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, of course, you'll learn about soil testing if you go to the gardener's palette. That's one of the things they're going to be talking about. You know, if you've got a certain kind of tree, it's very important to have it grow. And special on the gardener's palette, which is March 7th, get registered now because they expect a sellout. Dr. Dykstra is going to be talking about roses.
Yes, indeed. And he's happily retired from the medical profession now. But he has been a rose expert for years, has actually bred roses that have sold commercially. And there's nothing he doesn't know about roses. And he's an interesting person to talk to. And he's going to give two same talk over the lunch hour. So people go to the first lunch break, then they can go to the second talk. And people going to the second lunch get the first talk. And I can guarantee you it'll be a good thing to take in.
Well, the gardener's palette will be delightful. We had the keynote speaker, Melinda Myers, on the show, Mary Griffith Show, earlier this week, and she truly is a delight. So what you need to do is call the University of Illinois Extension because you have different classes you can take. We want to make sure you have the best selection for what you want. They're all interesting, but if you don't want to do container gardening, then you don't want to do container gardening. So they've got them on landscaping, succulents, container gardens, vegetables,
door prizes,
lots of great things will be happening. So be sure to call the University of Illinois Extension and get registered. And the sooner you get in, you're guaranteed lunch.
Yep.
That's one
yep.
thing, you're guaranteed lunch, and you're guaranteed your choice of your breakout topics.
Yes, so, and the take and plant and take succulent workshop is always popular. And you got to get in early for that because there's going to be a limit to how many people can be
accommodated. So Kim Clayton Bush wants to see you. But you've got to register now with the University of Illinois Extension. Yes. Thank you so very much for being here today, Kathy. Tomorrow we're going to talk about right to life issues with Nancy Dolan and the Super Bowl of Caring, which is a big soup supper and soup collection. So that's all tomorrow right here on Talk Radio 930. Yeah.